Hi, I'm Rick Schwartz.
Buenos dias, world. I'm Marco Wendt.
Welcome to Amazing Wildlife, where we explore unique stories of wildlife from around the world and uncover fascinating animal facts. This podcast is a production of iHeartRadio's Ruby Studio and San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, an international nonprofit conservation organization which oversees the San Diego Zoo and Safari Park.
Ooh, what a beautiful day, Rick. I mean, Earth Day just happened, right?
Yeah.
And we're here this morning at the San Diego Zoo. We're surrounded by, we got some llamas, some guanacos.
Yeah,
we're
on one side, and over there is the condors and some ravens.
Oh, they're looking really good. You know, it reminds us, too, right, of the impact of what we can do globally to help out different species, right? Condor is the perfect example, especially since Earth Day just happened.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that you brought that up because that's what I want to focus on in this episode. I think because Earth Day just happened, and, you know I grew up with Earth Day always being a thing. It's always been something we do. And as we're looking at the calendar and we're deciding episodes here, I was thinking, we should dive into what started Earth Day. Like, why do we even have it? Why is it important?
No, I mean, I really loved it, too, you know, because everyone has, like, a different interpretation of what Earth Day means to them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was like getting out in nature with my family and my friends and appreciating the trees and the clean air and the fresh water to drink, right?
Right. And I love that you bring that up because a big part of why Earth Day started back in the 1970s was because there was not even an Environmental Protection Agency at that time. There were no laws in place to protect what you were just saying, you and your family going out enjoying the natural environments. That wasn't even a thing yet.
No, exactly. You know, and even that time frame you referenced, so we're talking like 1970, right?
Yeah.
Is when first Earth Day happened. And I admittedly, before this episode, I started doing a little digging and some research, and I didn't realize that the amount of energy of activism happening during that time frame too. You know, some people in those government agencies were watching the anti-war protests and really getting impassioned by the youth and how they wanted to be part of the process, right?
Yeah, and so along with that, I find it really interesting that it was a center from Wisconsin. His name was Gaylord Nelson, and there was a giant oil spill off of the coast of Santa Barbara. There was some 3 million gallons of oil creating an 800 square mile oil slick, and he was flying over it. And there was nothing in place to protect the environment. And of course, if you can't protect the environment, you can't protect the wildlife. So that's why it's important to us. It was said that there were over 10,000 birds, dolphins, seals, and sea lions perished because of that. He was moved by that. And like you said, there was also a lot of activism around anti-war stuff. And so he got this idea that we should start creating rallies around protecting our environment because it protects us as well. So it was really fascinating to see that it started with a senator in Wisconsin who saw this damage to the environment, realizing we need to do something about it, that started this whole process of Earth Day that we have today.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, the word for me is like inspiration, right? I mean, he got inspired by that, by the activism that was happening at the time. And I got to bring up a lady that I absolutely love named Dolores Huerta. She did a lot of activist work in California for undocumented immigrants, for farmers out there. And she's got this quote that it resonated with me since I was a kid. And I got it right here. I want to read it for everybody. It says, "Every moment is an organizing opportunity. Every person, a potential activist, and every minute, a chance to change the world." I mean, how great is that, right?
Yeah.
And Earth Day, I think, fits perfectly into that, you know? I mean, you were referencing 1970s, the first Earth Day, and we should probably talk about this specific day, right? April 22nd.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, there were some references to it. I mean, it was sort of like, how do we get the youth involved into this? We got to pick a good time, right? Like maybe right after spring break and right before some of those major holidays like Passover and Easter, let's say, right? So April 22nd was the day. And it was amazing the amount of people that got involved in that whole process, right?
Yeah, and that's what I think is an important message here, too, for our listeners, because I know we have a lot of listeners who love wildlife, love hearing about the animals we talk about, love hearing us converse with our wildlife care specialists. And this episode's a little bit different, of course. It's just me and you, but I want our listeners to know that, yes, it was a senator who started this, but, you know, when you look further into the history, there were only a few rallies that occurred in the 1970 time period that he started this. Then it spread. If I remember correctly, not only did this rally and all of this excitement start the Environmental Protection Agency, but then regular people picked up the ball, if you will, and started to run with it, as the metaphor goes. And now it can be found in over 193 countries, but even in the 1990s, it was at 130 countries. So it started off as an idea here in the U.S.
Right, yeah.
Just a few rallies.
Yeah.
But it really was the people. And like their quote said, it's like every minute, every person has the opportunity to do something.
Yeah.
And that's what's really exciting about this is it really shines a light on, yes, Earth Day is something now that we can look around. We have a lot of laws in place. We're surrounded right now. We have the condors just to the side of us over here. And their story, you know, even with the Environmental Protection Agency being in place in the 1970s because of Earth Day, they still had issues in their environment in the 80s that dropped their numbers so terribly low. So it's a great example of, yeah, you know, there were things starting, But more things needed to happen and more awareness. And that's because of this sort of empowerment, if you will, around Earth Day,
man.
And raising awareness for going, hey, wait a minute. Well, if the oil spill caused this problem, what about lead poisoning in the wild? Or what about these issues here that we're doing, and being more thoughtful with what we're doing in our environment?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, and while we're talking about this, I want to remind all the kids that are listening too, like, you have a voice and you can take action, not just on Earth Day on April 22nd, but every day can be Earth Day. I mean, even the things we all know, like recycling as an example, right? Or planting a tree. I mean, you can decide on your own, like, what action you can take that particular day or throughout the year to make a good impact for the planet.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of my favorite things, used to do a lot of in-person talks with kids and school groups. And, you know, you mentioned recycling, but another really good and very impactful thing we can do, especially kids in school groups or, you know, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or any group of friends, do a park cleanup, do a beach cleanup, do a lakeside cleanup, a creekside cleanup. We don't always think, I want to save the elephants, I want to save the condors.
Right.
We think, what are these big, grand things in faraway places? But the reality is, every little bit makes a difference when we do something that impacts the environment, good or bad.
Yeah.
Whether you're not fixing the oil leak on your car so it washes into the streams,
right,
or whether you're going out with your friends to pick up and clean up an area, because what you're looking at then is what goes downstream from the park into the riverbed, into the ocean, all of that.
Yeah.
It all adds up. And that's something that's super empowering, that is part of making a difference for our environment. And to the point then, Marco, you and I have talked at length on many episodes about, you know, the idea of taking care of the environment, because that takes care of our wildlife. And that is really where it comes down to, is can we start making a difference in our own personal environment to help wildlife all over the world?
When you said, like, the little actions you can take every day, you know, back to the kids again, you guys can do it as well. Like this morning, you guys, I try to shorten my showers as much as possible. So that's one thing for me. And remember what's going down my drain every time I'm cleaning my bathroom, per se, right? Using more organic materials. And our conversation with Paige for our last episode.
Oh, yeah, the last episode. Yeah,
my brain exploded, and she was talking about, you know, as opposed to using pesticides in your gardens, you know, and how that can impact negatively different species of not just butterfly, but other pollinators and insects in the world too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's so many different actions. And, you know, yesterday I was preparing for our episode, friend, and I was at the safari park. It was a gorgeous day. The flowers were out, right?
Yeah.
People were smiling. And I was kind of curious, like, what does Earth Day mean for other people? So I kind of cruised around and asked some of our team members. And I wanted to bring up a couple because I was really inspired by it. For instance, Sherry, she's a volunteer that works at the safari park. And she says, as a person who hikes all over San Diego, it means getting back to nature, taking care of trees and trails and forests. And it's interesting, the perception or the ideas of what Earth Day means for each individual. So for instance, there was Esteban. He was actually a SC police officer, you know, visiting the park. And he was telling me, for him, it's embracing Mother Nature and that everything that it has to offer, to get out there and have fun, to explore the earth and learn how it came to be and how it can make a better place for future generations to come. So I thought that was really great.
That's really great. I like that.
Yeah, me too, man. I was so pumped just listening to everyone, and their eyes just lit up when they thought about it, you know, because it affects everyone, right? I always like to bring that up. Regardless of who you are on the planet, you could be the emperor of the world, you know, or a little kid from the barrio. Like, we are all connected to this planet, and we should all do something for it.
To your point, then, no matter who you are, we're all downstream from somebody. Which means somebody's downstream from us. And yes, if you don't live near a river or a stream, it's kind of hard to visualize that. But the wind blows, whatever. There's an opportunity for us to take care and be good stewards of our immediate location, which then helps everybody else. And it's one of those things, too, where I think we sometimes look around us right now, or it can be something that maybe even kids experience. They look around and they hear about an endangered species, and it seems overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it seems like, what can I possibly do? And it's a long-term process, of course, to help the environment, to help wildlife like that. But when we look back, we had the opportunity to see these successes. And one thing that I was really excited about when I was looking back at this Earth Day stuff and everything, and how it came about, because there were so many disasters occurring that were impacting nature and wildlife. And one of the ones that was a subtle impact was a chemical called DDT. And in the same time in the 70s that Earth Day was getting off the ground and awareness was coming around, they noticed bald eagles were starting to really drop in population. And there was no obvious thing that anyone could look at and go, wait, what's causing this?
Right.
It became a realization, though, that DDT, which is a type of pesticide, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
It was leaking into the water. The fish were eating the plant material and everything else that DDT was getting into.
Everything.
The fish meat was then getting toxified with it, but it wouldn't affect the fish necessarily. But when the eagles would eat the fish, which is their main source of their diet, that the DDT, of all things, it made it so their eggs were very weak and very almost like crumbly.
Yeah.
So they went without having young hatch because the eggs would break before they could hatch.
Yeah, how sad, right? When you think about
that. Right. Yeah, you think about it. It's like, wait a minute. we're doing this thing over here with the insecticide or whatever it might be, and then it washes down to the stream, and then it gets into the lakes, and then all of a sudden the eagles are perishing.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, we wanted something to eat. I mean, it's an important thing. I mean, not to make it light, but the connection of that,
right?
I was reading earlier this morning, like over 30% of the land on our planet is used for food, for growing food, right? So our daily needs impact wildlife, to your point.
Yeah.
And even to this day, we're still seeing effects of DDT. We're still seeing it in waterways and in the oceans.
Yeah.
And with that also, microplastics is a big thing right now as well, and that's affecting a lot of animals, the same idea.
Right.
But to that point of DDT and the communities of the world realizing what's happening, you got to save these beautiful raptors. And they got together and they passed the legislation, right? So things can happen, right? Voting is important. Definitely want to point that out. You know,
and being active in your community, being active with your immediate impact is going to be in the space and where you live. And going back to the bald eagles, now today, here we are 50 years later, just about. And their population is stable. They are no longer considered an endangered species. Yep. They are protected under other laws because they are a bald eagle. But the point being is I want kids to understand today that if you see and hear about species that are having challenges, that are endangered, they're critically low numbers, it can be disheartening. But it's also one of those things that should activate us to get involved, because we can point to the bald eagle as a great example as to how we can turn things around. Once we understand what's going on with them, we change the way things are being done. We still have farms. We still grow food.
Totally,
we just do without DDT now,
you know? Kidding,
and the eagles and everybody else are better off for it.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where it's like sometimes it's a minor shift. Once we realize what's going on, we can make a big difference and these species can come back. And again, I go back to the fact that although, yes, you and I and our listeners obviously are passionate about wildlife and the environment, we humans benefit too when the environment is healthy.
100%, friend. I mean, blue planet, our happy humans is what we got distracted, you guys. We saw the llamas and the alpacas. But, you know, speaking to where we're at right now, I mean, we're in between these beautiful animals from South America and also, again, slight distraction. And these condors, like DDT and the eagles, the condors, people can make a difference and save wildlife all over. And I want to remind kids too, you know, even though Earth Day just passed, there's still so much you can do and so many fun activities that I found on EarthDay.org. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun projects and campaigns you can be a part of every day. And I have a really great one this year about plastic and how to limit your plastic use. So I really want to encourage everyone to check out that website and see what you can do for the rest of the year, right? Help out Mother Earth.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people understand the concept too, that some plastics, even though we can put them in a recycling bin, they aren't recyclable. And so sometimes we feel kind of like our hands are tied. What you can do though, and kids, you know, you can help your parents out with this. When you're shopping for things, be a conscious consumer. Can you buy things that have packaging that is recyclable or has packaging that is friendly to it, whether it's biodegradable packaging or whatever it may be? And I got to say, I was grocery shopping the other day with my daughter. And I remember a time where we would leave the grocery store with plastic bags, just, you know,
thin plastic bags, 100%.
For vegetables, for fruit, and then for your groceries. And now it's like it's second nature for us to just grab our own bags and do our own thing. And the type of bags they have at our grocery store for veggies are biodegradable.
Oh, that's great.
So some of them, by the time you get home, they're already starting to disintegrate because the moisture from the vegetables or the fruit. And I look at that, I'm like, that's so cool. That's
Yeah.
It's like, you know, by next week, this isn't even going to be a thing. It's just going to be deteriorated in the trash.
Oh, no, totally, man. And it brings about the idea of like everyone can choose what works for them, right?
Right.
You know? So, maybe some people can't always buy organic at a grocery store, which I totally get, you know, but I was just thinking sometimes my family, we would go to the farmer's market and, you know, buy directly from, Yeah, well, not only are you getting like the best quality food, but you're helping support the local farmers too, right, that are trying to do good. I mean, we need to eat, we need to grow food for our communities,
absolutely.
But we can do it in a way that is beneficial, not only for human beings, but for ecosystems and wildlife too. So there's so much we can do. You know?
Yeah, I love the term sustainable balance.
Yes,
you know, it recognizes 100%. The fact that we as a living creature need resources from the earth. We just do.
Yeah.
But we can do it responsibly. We can do it with sustainability. We can do it thoughtfully and find that balance where it's like, yes, we do need resources from the earth, but we could do a really good job of being a little more balanced with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
I think you can, man. Yeah. So I really want to encourage all our listeners. And again, back to you kids out there that are listening right now, like get motivated, get in passion and become like an Avenger for the planet, right? I'm
there
all about superheroes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use the Avenger line, you know, put on that cape, you guys, and pick something that's passionate for you. You know, it reminds me of my first time being an activist for conservation, Rick. You know, I was in high school and it took part of a program that we were trying to save the ecosystem around our local lake, Lake Hodges. And there was a development company that wanted to build, but we were trying to show them and the local university that was nearby too that the fire in our areas here and this beautiful ecosystem of San Diego are beneficial for a lot of local plants and wildlife, mm-hmm. right? That it's a little interim space in between these moments of growth and between this really vital ecosystem. And I felt so empowered that day being around not only other kids that were into the earth as I was, but even adults who were willing to volunteer their time and come together and do this thing. All of us, you know, community, different ages, trying to do something good for the earth. So it felt really, really good.
And again, it goes right into the fact of we each have our own ability to make a difference. And yes. when we get together, right. we create these rallies, we join other rallies in these moments to bring awareness to our impact as humans. And we have choices to make. Mm-hmm. And again, mm-hmm. it goes back, yes, we do need resources, places yeah. to live, places to farm, but we can do it sustainably. We can do it with responsibility and with thought and consciously, you know, and that's what's so important.
Totally. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, you know, we have all sorts of outside noises happening. We, you know, like we mentioned earlier, we got the guanaco and the llama over one side. We got airplanes flying overhead. The zoo's getting ready to open. We got about 10 more minutes till the zoo opens. So, you know, all the bustle and hustle is happening around here. But I just want to remind everybody, too, that, and Marco had said this earlier, really every day is Earth Day. This episode comes out a few days after Earth Day. Right, and yeah. you might be listening to this in the middle of summer or in the fall. There's always an opportunity to be thoughtful about our environment. And Earth Day's impact today is just as important as it was in the 1970s to help us bring awareness of what's going on in the environment around us and what we have going on in our own backyard, especially how we can do something, even if we're 10 years old, you know, right. or 50 years old, whatever it may be.
Yeah, one or 100, man, you can be an Avenger for wildlife.
There you go, Avenger for wildlife. I think it's an ally for wildlife, is what we say.
You know,
isn't
okay,
that what it is?
I was going the superhero, but ally or Avenger. You know, you pick your word, sir, and you rock it.
Well, I hear you, man.
Yeah, and you know, Rick, I mean, Earth Day's founders created and organized the very first Earth Day on April 22nd, 1970, right? And since then, they've been mobilizing over 1 billion people annually on Earth Day and every other day. To wow. protect the planet.
Again, a great example of how important it is that each individual comes together, because then you have numbers like that, right?
Right.
And I want to remind people, too, you know, you can help us out. The San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance has done so much and continues to do so much work around the world, but we cannot do it alone. I want to encourage everybody to go to sdzwa.org. Not only can you, if you want to come visit the zoo or park, that's awesome. You know, definitely want to do that. But if you want to become a member, if you want to become an ally for wildlife, like I said, we cannot do it alone. And our supporters play such a crucial role. Dedicated partners, you know, people, anybody, regular people who love wildlife, if they join us by becoming a member, they help fund our conservation projects all over the world. They can volunteer their time, their knowledge, talk to other people, post things on social media from our social media as well. This allows us to create this awareness, this knowledge, and this passion in other people so we can all work together to make a difference. And that's really where the impact is for Earth Day and for the work we do as an organization as well.
And you know, the thing about like working together for all these different environmental projects, including endangered species, you know, we can yeah. really make a positive impact, right? Like your bald eagle story you talked about.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Marco, because it brings me right into getting everyone ready for our next episode. I want everyone to subscribe and be sure that they tune in next time when we talk about Endangered Species Day. But not just the endangered species, we're also going to look at some species that have had great success to come off the endangered species list.
I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. Thanks for listening. For more information about the San Diego Zoo and San Diego Zoo Safari Park, go to sdzwa.org. Amazing Wildlife is a production of iHeartRadio. Our supervising producers are Nakia Swinton and Dylan Fagan, and our sound designers are Sierra Spreen and Matt Russell. For more shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.